Glad to have Brother John Lane, his wife, and Mary-Kate with us tonight. John came in just a little bit ago and brought me a gift of two little glass-like doves. They're so pretty. Brought them in from Olive Branch, and we were just talking about the Mississippi Brethren when he came up. Just talking about two or three of them being here. They're from Mississippi. Brother Roger, I think he's really from Mississippi. Brother Fontaine, he's from Mississippi. Brother Bullard, he's from Mississippi. And a number of them from Mississippi. I said, well, I ought to have some from Mississippi. We spent enough time over there, you know. And about that time, John come in with the two little doves, which was really a beautiful thing concerning this cold, harsh spell we're having. And things that have taken place in the last day or two. It was just perfect for what we had said and for the things that had transpired. So, thought it was real timely for John to come in about that time with those doves. He'd been down to Griffin maybe to visit with his folks and then down into Macon, Georgia, visiting there with Brother Carnes and had ministered in Macon at the church that he established there among the people. And then, of course, he came on up here. It was a beautiful, beautiful thing. It's good to be here. How are you glad you're Christian? Let me see your hand. I tell you what, I'm glad I'm a Christian, Frank. You know, I say this so often because I mean it. I say it over and over. I am literally thrilled. I am thrilled beyond word expression that I am a Christian. And you know what? All the days of my Christian life, I have been thrilled beyond word expression because I am a Christian. And I see people that lose the joy of serving God and they lose the joy of their salvation. You know, they say that they are a Christian and they say that they love the Lord. But I have the hardest time, you know, trying to find out whether that's true or not, in the sense that the Bible said serving God is joy, and I start looking for their joy and sometimes I can't find it. And it says it's peace and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. And a lot of times I can't find their peace, and it's for sure I can't find their righteousness. So it makes me wonder, you know, if they even know anything about the same God that I'm acquainted with. Because as I live before God, this is truthfully a rest and a peace and an abounding joy that never at any time leaves my heart or my life. It doesn't matter what circumstances are. It doesn't matter what problems are. I have crushing moments of every conflict that's imaginable. Pressed out of measure, Paul said. But never at any time does his joy and jubilance and greatness, love and enthusiasm, never does it leave me, never at any time. So I thank God because there is a real, genuine God and joy and love and Christian service that can penetrate and can reign above all problems. It's good to be here tonight. Of course, today is still Christmas. Christmas Day, as I said this morning, this is Christmas Day. Well, I don't know about that, Brother Pike. Well, you know, it's Christmas to them. It believes in Christmas. It's like serving God, you know, and like having Christianity. Somebody says, I don't believe in that. He's talking about having joy. Well, it's joy to them that believe in it, you know. But it's whatever you want to believe in, well, that's what it is. And I said, well, I believe everything's all out of sauce. Well, I agree with you, you know. Anybody that believes in that, to them, it's all out of sauce. And as long as they believe in the out of sauce, it's going to be out of sauce. But we're them that believe in the in sauce, you know, and the right kind of sauce. So everything just rosy and fine to us. Jesus said, as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. If he wants to think wrong, then he's all mixed up. But if he wants to think right, everything's just right. And I love to think right. You know, that makes it too easy. Isn't that right? That makes it too simple. Said it's just too easy. That's all. You know, just to think that all you've got to do is think right and everything's right, think wrong and everything's wrong. Well, it sounds that way, but it's the truth. It's the truth. Everything is just wonderful. When you think wonderful, everything is wonderful. When you think any other way, everything's any other way. So I'm glad that I'm here. I praise God for it. I'm glad that you're here. Glad that Brother, Sister Bullard, the family can be here with us tonight. Brother John, family, I'm glad that they can be here with us tonight. The others that are here visiting with us are those that have come to stay with us. Those that are of Bethlehem, we're glad for you that are here. I noticed this morning there's quite a number missing on Christmas morning, and I know some missing tonight on Christmas night. So we're still grateful for them that wanted to come and be in the house of God on Christmas. Glad to have Sister Joyce's mother, sister, and family that's still here with us. Appreciate these people coming from out of Macon to be with us. God is so good. The song said God is bringing forth a man-child. And it's so wonderful because He really is. He's doing a great, marvelous thing. You know, a lot of people say, I know Jesus, but really, they don't know Jesus. Talked to a lot of people in my lifetime, and I've heard them say, I know Jesus. I say, do you really know Jesus? Oh, yes, I know Jesus. And then I think, no, you don't really know Jesus. What it is you know about Jesus. You know about Jesus. You know that there is a Jesus, and a Jesus was born, and you've heard about Him, but you don't know Jesus. I can tell the way you talk. I can tell the way you act. You don't know Jesus. You've never met Jesus. I'm telling you the truth from my heart. You never met Jesus. A lot of times preachers preach and they tell you things to try to convince you of something so that you'll be cheerful, so that they can get an offering. But since we don't need an offering, I'm not trying to get you to be cheerful. I'm just telling you about Jesus. If you ever meet Jesus, you'll never be the same anymore. Never again. Your entire life will change. Somebody said, you know, no, it's not like that at all. It's real, genuine. It's like the Jewish people, you know, they never did know Jesus. During all their lifetime, they never did know Jesus. Somebody would say, well, Jesus never was there. The Bible said the rock that followed them when Moses was with them was Christ. But they never did know Jesus. Never at any time did they know Jesus. They knew about Jesus. That is, they knew about the Lord. They knew about His greatness. They'd heard about Him. And they did all kind of ritualistics and trying to offer service to Him. But they all died in the faith. That is, those that was of Christ. They all died in the faith, not having received Jesus. Somebody said, well, you can't prove that. The Bible said they all died in the faith not having received the promise. And who was the promise? He was Jesus. But Peter on the day of Pentecost stood up and said, Jesus is here. This is the promise. Through thy seed, Abraham, not as seeds of many, but of his one, through thy seed, even Jesus, shall all nations be blessed. And then all of a sudden, there came the promise, Jesus. He went down into the heart of the earth, preached to the souls in prison, broke the bonds of iniquity, took away the chains of death, and set the captive free. Them at liberty that was bruised. So then if you've never received the promise, you need to receive the promise. For the Bible says the promise is unto you and unto your children and to as many as be afar off. Peter said, even as many as the Lord our God shall call, even Christ in you, the hope of glory. If you have not Christ in you or the Spirit of the Lord, then you're none of His. So tonight, if you've ever met Jesus, your whole world is different. Like I was telling Brother Bullard today, he and I are fellowshipping a little bit together. I said, Brother Bullard, you know, a number of years ago, when I was in my 20s, I guess, I lost interest in the world and all it had to offer. I began to lose interest, and things just didn't seem important to me anymore. Up until that time, I had a great interest in the world of security and future and whatever position. But I began to see some things and I began to understand some things that made me to know that there is no future in this world. There is no life aside from God. And anything that you might obtain unto is dead. There's no sparkle. There's no brilliance. There is nothing to it without Jesus. If you want to be happy in what you're doing, and if you want to enjoy what you possess, then take Jesus into your life. And with Jesus, you'll find a wholesome, happy life. Like the song we wrote, life can be beautiful if you'll take Jesus with you. And so it is that without Jesus, everything is dead. You know, I spoke of it today like this. The sun leaves the earth. Scientists says without the sun, the whole world would freeze over into a ball of ice. Everything would die. All the vegetation would be gone. And it's the same way with God. The sun is like God, the great light. When God withdraws, everything becomes cold and icy. The world doesn't have any glitter anymore. And the beauties of living is done away with. So then if you don't have Jesus, you need to get Jesus, folks. It's so wonderful to be a Christian and have Jesus. That's why my life is filled with joy. Is because Jesus is with me all the time. Whatever I am, whatever I was, whatever I'll ever be, it's Jesus. That's all I want, is Jesus. It's been a good long time since John's been with us. And there are very few people in the whole world today that I have the respect for that I do John Lane. And I mean that from my heart. I think of John with great respect because I've seen John for years try to follow the right path and do the best that he could. And try to stay clean and straight in spite of all the problems and temptations. And I respect him for his efforts. And I thank God today for him being here. And the brethren here they've presented a guitar to me a time or two. And in different cases, I felt led to give it to different ones. And there were some beautiful guitars, some of the most expensive guitars that you can buy. And this one guitar, Brother Gary had said something about them wanting to give us a guitar. And I had no idea that that guitar was anywhere around tonight. But anyway, to me, I'm thrilled. I'm excited. So you decide to pardon me just a minute. I want you to see it. Not only the guitar, but the meaning that this guitar has. I don't know whether you can see it or not, but it's a beautiful guitar. These gifts have great meanings, and I love to preserve the grand opening of these things. That crushed red velvet in there is beautiful. This guitar is really beautiful. It's inlaid with mother of pearl. And it's about the best you can get. It's one of the finest guitars that can be bought.
You're going to have to play it.
I don't know if I can remember one tonight or not. I tell you what, we will. One night we will sing you a song.
Change that part of the world.
Joy to the world, that's good. You know, it was something, I thought that was really something that John chose that song tonight because it hasn't been more than 3 or 4 nights ago that I was ministering. And I've never sang that song behind the sacred desk that I know of, but I felt that the song was to be sung. That is, Joy to the World. And then Brother John coming along tonight saying that he was going to sing it. I have to make a little adjustment on these to lengthen it, but otherwise it looks like the strap's going to be just about right. So I said this is a kind of a top-of-the-line guitar here. It's an expensive guitar. And the meaning of it tonight is highly significant. They brought me a Dove guitar. The cold weather that set in, I felt like it would drop down to zero. And I understand that at midnight last night it did, and some said a couple of points below, maybe two below zero, but down to zero. And at first it dropped down to 3 points above, whereas at this particular time it dropped lower than the North Pole and Alaska, according to the report. For Georgia, that's just unreal. As a matter of fact, they said it set a record, that they'd never had it like that before. The coldest time that they've had this time of the year, they've never had anything to compare with it. And, of course, I said it had to do with death. Jordan always has to do with death. And I made the statement that the severeness of the cold to the brethren, I made this statement. The severeness of the cold had to do with killing out the old and doing away with the parasites. And dropping down to zero meant a complete end. A complete end. And like the 3 minutes till midnight, it was about three above, and then it just dropped right on down. I think Brother Branham made that movie also, 3 minutes till midnight. But it dropped down, indicating the end and sure death. And whether coincidental or whatever, they tell me that it became so severe that there was 7 members in a family, I believe it was. And the 7 members of the family was affected by the cold so much that by the time they got them to the hospital, every one of them died. And that, of course, is highly significant. Again, the things that are taking place, God to make a full end. And then with that, the passing over of death. Passing over the Jordan, the chilly Jordan, and passing over death. That's sure death out there now. And with that, coming up on the other side brings life. Brings life. That's what the baptism was about. When John baptized Jesus in the Jordan, that's what it was about. Coming up on the other side, bringing life. And as our brother John said tonight, upon whomsoever you see the dove, whenever he comes upon the certain one, then if he remains, you know that that is him. And is it a true fact? We preached a message not too long ago in line with what our brother was saying tonight, that the dove had returned with John. It had returned from the ark of Noah. It had returned. It had come all the way back, even the second Adam. Even from the beginning. And it had returned with a proof of the leaf that came from the Garden of Eden. And this, of course, relates back to the dove coming and descending upon those at Pentecost, the promise coming. Coming and descending upon them, they that received it, became bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, that indicated that they were the ones upon whom the Spirit continued to be. In the Old Testament, he'd just come upon them and leave. He wouldn't stay with them. But the thing is, those that came up after Pentecost, he entered into their hearts, and he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, but lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. He remains in you. He walks and talks in you. Not in everybody, not in every church person, but into the hearts of those that receive him. If he enters into your heart, then he remains with you. And that means that you're him. You're the very Christ, the members of the body of the great Christ, the only true and living church, because he remains with you. The Bible said if he comes and remains upon you, then that means that's him. That's the tabernacle of God in the earth. And so it was at Eden, if you remember, bringing the proof of Eden. It hasn't been too long ago that we was in Eden. And I was just talking to Brother Bullard about it today. The tent having been set in Eden, having to do with Brother Branham and having to do with the white tent, the third pool, and the tent being in Eden. It was at that time in Eden that I received the little card that David, as some of them was reading the other night. Somehow or another, at the time I received the card, somebody gave me a little red box. It's so beautiful. It's got a seal of the United States on it. Brother Jerry, didn't you give me that box? Brother Jerry Lambert. I thought it was Jerry because it had to do with the happening at that time. Up in Eden, beautiful setting of the tent, returning to Eden. And of course that place up there was named after Eden. Returning to Eden, it was at that time. Now we had written the president before then, and he apparently had been inspired by our letter. We had gotten a response from Washington by those that received it, but not by the president. And then when we went into Eden, it was at the time that we was in Eden that we got the response from the president himself. His gratitude as having remembered him in such an outstanding way. And it was his personal card with his own personal seal of the United States on it and his signature. And as it came at the very moment that it came to show the reality of what it was, Brother Jerry came right with the little red chest with the same thing on the top of it, the seal of the United States. And the little card went into the little box, little treasure box, and it's still there. And they just pulled it out the other night and read it. And I said all that to say this, the dove coming is a proof that the new world has come. Whereas I just spoke of the vision of Brother Grady, Brother Parnell himself, now I don't know whether this is true, whether it's not true, I just got word that the brother received a vision where the voice said that my servant J.T. Parnell is to forerun this ministry. And we had spoke of what it had to do with George Jr. and with Becky, which is the daughter of Brother Parnell. And the leaf as to the tree, Brother J.T. Parnell made the statement that he had a vision, first about the ark, that which was to be revealed that had not yet been revealed. And then the next thing was, he said that in a vision he saw in our yard in the front of the church, the tree of life, said it was there. That beautiful tree of life, the dove brought back a leaf from the tree of life, and said when he saw the tree of life, said he was all excited, and said there was some others there. And Brother J.T. Parnell said, Brother Pike, we all was working for you in the vision. And said, I saw the tree of life, and said something was said about the astounding fact that that tree was in the yard. And Brother Parnell said, I spoke up and said, well, that tree's been there all the time and we just didn't see it. So then again, we speak of the tree of life. The Bible said the trees of God are full of sap. There is a tree in the world today that is the tree of life. That tree is the branches and members of his own body, even the Lord Jesus Christ. He hang upon a tree to represent the end of the curse, to bring us grace, to bring us back to life. And today, he said, lest you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you have no life in you. Whereas there was another tree that was the law that was represented by the quotes of Brother Branham that Brother J.T. Parnell represented. And also the law, which was folded up and laid away, that Brother John Lane also represents. The Bible speaks of John as being none greater among men. Now, in this, the law was not done away with, only in the sense of the fulfillment. When we think of the law being folded up and laid away, we think of it being done away with because the Bible speaks of that. But only in the fulfillment. It would be unreal for any Christian, any person that loves God, anyone that hath a knowledge of Christ, it would be unreal for them to even think that God would take John the Baptist and lay him aside and not take him into the kingdom of God. That would be unreal to even think like that. One of the greatest men that ever lived. But John run a pattern and a program up to the chains that the bridge might reach over from one side to another, and that it might hinge upon those two great things, the law and the prophets until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached, and men pressed their way into it. In that the kingdom of God is now at hand. Now at hand. It wasn't until then, but with the coming of John, it was at hand. And John introduced it. It was at hand. He was the first and only man that ever introduced it. For when Jesus spoke of him, they said, John, a prophet. Said, more than a prophet. He said, this is him of whom I spake. For I send my servant, or that is, I send my messenger, he called him, not a servant. But I send my messenger before my face to prepare my way before me. And so it has been in many cases that John has worked with the revelation of the Lord Jesus. Even in the setting of the meetings, of the series of meetings, when he set up 7 or 8 meetings in a row. And in every place, it seems that it has been that it worked out after that fashion. Some of you remember how that we had the baptizing over in Israel. And when we baptized, it had to do with the son Isaac. We baptized Sister Cook, and we baptized Brother Isaac. And it was there as we was baptizing that these little birds came down and hovered over the head and just began to just twiddle, you know. And they even made a tape. Somebody made a tape and caught the little birds. You can hear the sounds of the little birds as we're baptizing in the River Jordan, having to do again with the son Isaac. And we could go on and write a book, as I say, about the things that took place with Brother Isaac and the Dead Sea and the different things. But anyway, just trying to condense things in a few words here. See, the Garden of Eden, we had sent our flag to the President of the United States. And believe it or not, if I had time to elaborate on it, go into it concerning what it has to do with the American flag and our flag, it would be astounding. But to say the least, they refer to the American flag, as I've said in the past, as Old Glory. But our flag is New Glory. And the Bible speaks of the latter house and the former house and the light of the latter and the former. And that which is old is ready to be folded up and laid away, even the flag. And it is a true fact that with the communistic powers of Antichrist coming in, that's what they'll do. But not our flag. It's already gone to Washington. Mr. Reagan's received it. Many things happened that we could detail concerning the shooting and all the different things that happened. And then he returned, or that is, he expressed in the return of the writings, he expressed his feelings to us while we were in Eden, having to do with the new world, even the Garden of Eden, the restoration, when the new flag went up. And there it was substantiated that something new had come in. And even the money that we made, if you remember, we made it colorful. And now all of a sudden, they have decided to make their money pink and blue and do away with the green money. Coincidental or not, they're making it the same as our money. And the same as it was with our coins, about the time that we incorporated in our money what we call the Christian shekel, taking it partly from one thing and partly from another as the Lord put it together. I made the statement, it is the combination of the Jewish money and the American money in this sense, that the Christian shekel expresses a new thing that brought both of them in. And of course, the redemption of the body. At the very time we did this, the papers carried the article saying that Israel was buying up American money and they had considered their money worthless, and they had suggested that the American money and the Israelite money become one money. Well, as I say, many things that we could say, many, many things. But whatever it might be, the whole thing points to, as we say, this area of Mount Vernon, this area of the governors, and this area that we are in. Many wonderful, miraculous things have to do with this area. And Brother John coming here on a Christmas Day, having been down in Macon to show the redemption of that which was lost just before it saw corruption. Life entered back into it from the tree of life. And all of a sudden, just before it becomes the tree of knowledge, of reasoning and of reflections, rather than reality and of true living, the life entering back into the body, Brother John, having to do with that, the union and the coming together of the uniting of that side and this side to make it contiguous, as the world uses the terms. Many things that we could say about it, but to say the least, there's a new nation that has been born. There's a new world that has been born. The old has gone out and the new has come in. And the change had to do with Mr. Carter and Mr. Reagan's, in that Mr. Reagan said, I feel like I'm coming in. And he said, I feel like the world's going out. But here we have, as I say, a positive proof that there is a redemption of the body. And you that don't understand, you're not going to be able to receive it. The Bible said no one can receive anything except it be given them of God. But he that can receive it, let him receive it. For this thing that's taking place is the positive proof that the end of the world has come, and the time of the Gentiles is over and closing out, and that the revelation of Jesus Christ was the capstoning of the great pyramid of the church ages, and all of those that had been lively stones built up into a holy priesthood to the coming of the Lord himself, just as the revelation of Jesus Christ is in the Bible from the Old Testament to the New Testament, and in John comes with the revelation of Jesus Christ. And so then it is a true fact that it does show the end, that it's not allegoric, only in the sense that these things are allegories, types, but this is the revealing of a present day truth, which means that it is at hand, that it actually has happened, and that the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, has actually been sealed in, and that the mysteries of God actually has come to a finish, and that which was not understood, hid from the foundation of the world, has been understood. And though you might say, well, I haven't got it, I don't understand it, yet there's some people that got some of it here, and some got some of it there. And each measure to each person, according to the dealings of Christ Jesus, they have received the wonderful Spirit, the Word, which was made Spirit, which means made revelation. And these things have taken place. And so then the people that are here that can understand, there's something that has really taken place, and the change, the Thessalonian change, is beginning to move right in, and the world doesn't see it and doesn't understand it as to what is about to happen and what has happened. So then it's really something to be here tonight, and the very thing that I see laying before me as I look down, it says, the revelation of Jesus, the revelation of Christ, the tree of life. I'm looking right straight at it. The revelation of Christ, the tree of life. It says, the song of the Lamb, the revelation of Jesus Christ. So then, it is really something, folks, as to what is taking place. It is astounding, it is unbelievable, and I don't expect you to accept it. You know, but I wish you could. I wish you could get a hold of it. I wish you could accept it, because it is so unbelievably astounding. But nevertheless, you know what you can do and what you can't. The people that come in, the Yodas, the Millers, and those that came in having to do with the beaches, those that came in and Brother Doyle coming up from the boat, all of this had to do with the great change and the redemption of the body, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Branham said it'll move right through you and you'll never see it. And so it is. It's moving right through the church, and the church world isn't seeing it at all. But yet it is so beautiful. It is so astoundingly wonderful, as in the vision when I look and said, folks, look at those great lovely things that's taking place in heaven. Look at those things. And of course, looking into the Spirit, you're looking into heaven. For heaven is the Spirit. So I thank the Lord for my guitar tonight, and to Brother John, our brother, coming over. As I said, I have very few men in the world today, I repeat, that I have the kind of respect for that I have for Brother John Lane and for his family. But I thank God for the wonderful thing. Even the 7 years that was shown and the leaves and the different things positively shows the end of the tribulation. It was about that time that the ladies came into the long dresses. And the picture was taken with the ladies that represented those ages. But anyway, I want us to stand together. And in standing together, you know, there was something that was unique in the book of Revelation concerning Jesus standing on the Mount Zion. I have sang every song in this book. You know, the songs of the Lamb. But I've never sang out of this book that I know of at church. The opening of it is Emmanuel, which means God with us. Be therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Words eternal. From Matthew 5:48. The Bible said, no man shall be above his master, but every man that be perfect shall be as his master. Can we then be perfect? If we cannot be perfect, why did he say, be therefore perfect? Why did he speak of those perfect men? What does it mean if I'm perfect? He said, if you be perfect, then ye shall be as your master. Christ revealed within me, Paul said, it's not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth within me. In the life I now live, I live by the Son of God. I'm dead by the body of Jesus to sin, to my own life, to my own birth, and by the body of the Lord Jesus Christ and his life, I am alive forever. So then, this little book published by Grace Music Productions, or company, that we have here, the corporation, copyrighted in Washington to the reserved rights. It has songs like the Song of the Lamb and the Wedding Supper and Jehovah the Great, Shiloh Become, the Man Called Jesus. Though I wrote it, I don't guess I've ever sang it with a congregation. But I want to sing the verses of it. And as I sing the verses of it, now I'm not much of a singer, but as I sing the verses of it, I want you to sing with me. And if you don't remember the verses, then join in on the chorus. Brother Taylor, sing the chorus enough, I know you remember that. Give me a song, Lord. Oh, give me a song. A song I can sing, Lord, all the day long. A song in the daytime and a song in the night. A song that will help me do everything right. Thank God for my song. Oh, thank God for my song. My heart is rejoicing all the day long. For the birds are all singing, springtime is surround. It's God's resurrection, it's the song of the Lamb. My life, it had vanished, my hope was all gone. In the past I had practiced the things that were wrong. But when I found Jesus, he turned me around. The sheep that was lost, friend, at last has been found. Thank God for my song, oh thank God for my song. My heart is rejoicing all the day long. Oh, the birds are all singing, springtime is around. It's God's resurrection, it's the song of the Lamb. Jesus, he heard me, and he gave me a song. Wrote by Jehovah, it came straight from the throne. He gave me a blessing, and he gave me a crown. For the song that he gave me was the song of the Lamb. Thank God for my song. Oh, thank God for my song. My heart is rejoicing all the day long. For the birds are all singing, springtime is around. It's God's resurrection, it's the song of the Lamb. Sing the chorus again. Thank God for my song. Oh, thank God for my song. My heart is rejoicing all the day long. Oh, the birds are all singing, springtime is around. It's God's resurrection, it's the song of the Lamb. The song of the Lamb. I made the statement that God being in Brother Bullard coming down at this time, they have to do with the redemption of the body and with the resurrection. As a matter of fact, his little girl came over and kissed me on the cheek today. Her name is Tabitha. Tabitha Cuma, arise, damsel. The resurrection, she came over and she kissed me on the cheek. You know, her reached up with her little hands and pulled my face down and kissed me on the cheek. See, again, the resurrection, the song of the Lamb. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing the way God does things, folks. It's just so wonderful. It's unreal to our human mind, and the human mind will never see it. It's foolishness to those that are in the carnal reasoning, but in the spirit, to those that can see it, is great, wonderful life. The steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. I watched Sister Betty in giving her coat away today. She gave her coat away that the sisters had given her. And I'd felt that the coat should be given away. And that's unusual, because you don't want to give away what the brothers and sisters give you, because it has such a great meaning. But still, at the same time, these things have great spiritual significance, and a lot of times God prepares the hearts of the brothers and sisters to do this, that you might do something with it, that it might prove to be a great, wonderful revelation. And so it was, and the way that she gave it and the thing that happened, it's so beautiful. It has great significance. We're going to elaborate on it tonight and say many things concerning the coat and concerning the things that are happening. But anyway, it's just so beautiful. Just a number of things has happened right here at the Christmas season. It's so beautiful. But I trust that God will quicken these things to your heart. And I wish that you had all night and we had all night, you know. And the interest was there because, of course, I do have all night and I spend all night with the Lord. Night after night, I go home. I may drop down on my knees and talk with God, or I may just, you know, just get right in there and get in the frame of mind of meditation, because I love to live in heaven anyway. You know, people, wherever your heart is, that's where your treasures are. Wherever your treasures is, where your heart is. And my treasures are in heaven, so then I love to spend time with God, meditating and talking to God, singing and making melody in my heart to Christ. David did that on the hillside a lot of times as a little shepherd boy, away from everybody, just sitting out on the hillside watching after the sheep. He made melody in his heart to God, and he played upon his heart. He had a real loving, dedicated heart to God. Many times he stumbled and said, though my ways don't please you, yet my heart is perfect before you. Because he meditated in the laws of God day and night. Went 7 times in the day to pray to God. But I said that to say this, a lot of times I just love to get with God. I love to be with the Lord. The years gone by, many times I wasn't with my wife, I wasn't with my children, though we were on the road together for years. I hardly ever spent any time with Betty or the children. No matter where we were, I was always by myself or in a room, just worshiping and loving God and having the biggest kind of time. And Betty, she was just patient. The name Betty means devoted one, and she was devoted to the cause of Christ. And While I was in there making melody in my heart to God and talking to God and living with Christ, Sister Betty patiently went along with me and stayed with me year after year. And I come out quite a bit now because the Lord showed me I had to do that. If I was ever going to be beneficial to Him in sharing what I had received with others, or if I was ever going to be beneficial to Christ in establishing anything in the earth as to His glory and a place for people together, I had to do that. And so I did. And today I fellowship with the brethren. A lot of times I'm vexed by the presence of different ones and I just want to run and scream. But I've learned to tolerate, to love, to share and do what I can. A lot of times I'm not vexed. I find inspiration with certain people that are spiritual minded, that are hungry. And it's encouraging to me. But nevertheless, I try to do what little I can in sharing with the brethren. And it's such a beautiful hour. It's such a beautiful moment. And I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that many of you here, not just few, but many of you tonight don't see and don't understand. I understand that that's true. But on the other hand, there's some that's beginning to get their eyes open and the child is being born. And this child, as quick as he was born, he was caught up to the throne, which has to do with the flag going to Washington. Was caught up to the throne, and he ruled with a rod of iron, which reminds me of the little rod that somebody left up here for the teaching. It is a little thing that they brought me, and somebody brought me a little metal rod the other day that is a three-dimensional thing that pushes out, that makes a pencil-like. Bringing these things up here, you know, every little thing is significant. I have, as you would call, a custom or a habit. It's not really a custom, not really a habit. I'll pick up a little olive oil bottle. And I'll take a swallow or two of it. This is called the original. And it's imported virgin olive oil. And it's usually kept up here, you know. And I'll take a little swallow of the olive oil. But that's not unusual. You know, people, they pour olive oil on salad and they cook things with olive oil, so it's not as unusual as it might seem. But anyway, I do that. And all of that has significance. There's great significance to why did I do that. And I don't do it just to be doing it. You know, there's a significance to things. But I thank God tonight for His wonderful blessings. Thank Him for being here with us. And for Brother John being here with us. It really means something. Sister Betty had a telephone call. Was it today that you had the telephone call, Betty, from Mary? Name's Mary, is it? What's the name? From Sister Mary from the Church of God, which is highly significant, Brother Clyde. She called today. She's Brother Kim's mother, which is Sister Aline's sister. Brother T.L. Larry's sister, another one of the sisters. She loves Betty, and she called. And I was talking to Betty today about the brother that's gone over into the Washington area. She's fixing to go up there. And they've established a great church there. A lot of people. It's got great significance. The Church of God is connected with this. Brother T.L. Ayer has been down here to visit with us. And he has helped us with a translation, a Greek translation of baptism in Jesus' name. But anyway, it was highly significant. She called today and she also said that Sister Aline had had a wreck, I believe. Her and the little one had had a wreck, which we had not known anything about. And I don't know how bad they was hurt or whatever. Maybe not hurt bad, I trust. But anyway, they'd had a wreck. But I just passed those things on to you so you can think on them, because there's a lot of things in detail that I would like to bring out, if I could bring it out to you. You know, but I know that, as Brother John said, this is Christmas. And I know that you'd like to be able to go home. And we're going to dismiss him. But let's just thank God that whether we ever go to church on Christmas Day again or not, we've got one thing to our advantage and one thing to our credit. And that is that we was in the house of God morning and night on Christmas Day. And on one of the most important Christmas days or events that I know of. And I thank God for this. Now, the Bible said those that look to the past and esteem that yesterday better than today are not wise, for the end of the matter is better. And so then this great, wonderful omega of that great alpha beginning, this great, wonderful thing is so outstanding and so highly significant. I want to say I thank you, Brother Gary, for the guitar. To me, it's beautiful. It's just, you just couldn't hardly give me nothing. The only thing I know that you could give me that would please me anymore is a soul for Christ. And other than that, you just couldn't have picked out a gift that fits me any better of my feelings and desire than a guitar. And I thank God for it. I've been strumming on one ever since I was a boy. And though I gave it up, you hardly ever see me play a guitar. Played some a little bit with Dale here at the recording place that we've got. Hardly ever see me play a guitar. I gave it up altogether that I might preach and might do the things of God. And hardly ever that I ever use it at all. But here as of late, I had felt that God was wanting me to, and so that I have strummed on it a time or two, and I thank the Lord for my guitar. So then let's just sing a chorus together, and with this we'll be dismissed. Before we sing the chorus, I want to do something that... Now, Brother Jimmy isn't here. Brother Jimmy Kirk's sick tonight. Ordinarily, he'd be up here to do this. But I want to receive an offering for John. People that preach the gospel, God ordained that they should live on the gospel. And we try to share as much as we can. Now, I know that John says he's been doing some paint work. That's great. I thank God for a man that will do it. Somebody said, well, he's probably got more money than I have. Well, maybe he needs more money than you got. He might be going to California. You might be going to spend the night at Bethlehem. Who knows? See, so maybe he needs more. I say this a lot of times, you know. You don't look at it as how much a man's got. You know, the servant of God don't have to go around showing you holes in his shoes to get a piece of bread. Maybe he's got $1,000. Maybe he's going to need $10,000. Who knows? I had somebody to come by a few days ago, and they gave me $1,000. And I had another fellow come by and give me $1,000. But consequently, at that time, I needed around at least $5,000. And if you had thought about it, you know, you might have said, now, wait a minute. You know, man, he's got $1,000. That fellow just gave him $1,000. I ain't got that much. But see, maybe you didn't need that much. You go by a person's house and you say, well, they don't need that much, you know. You say, why? I say, well, they don't have as many children as I have. So maybe you don't have as many children to feed as I have. And if you don't, well, maybe you don't need as much as I need. I know that don't set well, but anyway, that's the way it is. And tonight, John is here. I don't know what he needs. God knows his needs, but it's for sure that he left off with his job down yonder and it's been cold and he hasn't been able to paint. And he's still going on for God. So I think we ought to share a little bit with him. And I know you want to anyway. Most of my people, I don't have very many people that's critics when it comes to money. I've got a few that they just ain't going to share. That's all it is to it. They'll die with their little bit. And when they die, then somebody will go along and they'll get it out and they'll have a good time. Or God will send them by to give it to the work of the Lord. And the person that held it back will die and go into the lake of fire because they held it back, and then the children will come and give it and go to heaven. All that is, they'll give it, they'll take it and spend it and frolic it out and go to hell with the one that held it back. But the ones that holds it back is very foolish because they don't have any advantage whatsoever in holding money. There is no advantage to money. There is no treasure to having money in the bank. There is no benefit to having money in the bank. Not any. Not any. Somebody said, I get paid interest on it. Let me take just a minute here. Somebody said, well, I get an interest off of it. I can buy some bonds, and that's the way to do it. I had somebody not too long ago say, boy, the way to do it is buy you some bonds. So then you go borrow money, you know. You got bonds. That's great. I mean, that's wonderful if you want to do that. But I said, well, it don't make sense to me, you know. You can take your money and use your money for whatever you want to use it for and don't have to pay interest on it. And I said, if you put your money and buy bonds, then they're paying you one interest that's not near the interest that you pay them. And then you're borrowing their money, and they're using yours up all the time. And you're using it up in interest, and they're investing it and making money while you do without. I said, I just can't put all that together. It don't fit my way of operation, you know. And I said, the thing to do is Use your own money. And that's the way I feel. You know, somebody said, I'm saving my money. Did you know that when you save your money, it's been a proven fact to them that understand, when you buy bonds, whether it's bonds for, you know, national benefit or whatever, and that's good if you want to invest in national benefit, I'm not against that, that's fine. If you're helping the cause of the nation, that's great, whatever you're doing. But I'm speaking of the money now. See, if you buy bonds, they are wise enough to know that when you invest in the bond, that though you invest a little, they can give you a lot later. But if you'll figure it up over the years and the depreciation and the decline of the financial side, you'll find that you get back less than you put into it. They've got it all figured out. And you'll get back less than you put into it, and they'll be used your money all that time while money value was high. And you'll wind up holding the bag, as we say. Same way with interest. You put it in there and you save it, and every day that you save it, it loses its value a little more, so you're losing your money. And while it's at high tide, they are investing it and getting the benefits. You know, people really need to wise up. And the money doesn't feed them one cracker, doesn't give them one milkshake. Somebody said, but that's why I got it in the bank. I can have what I want when I want it. No. Whenever you take it out of the bank and use it, you don't have it in the bank. If you buy a milkshake, it's not in the bank. If it's in the bank, you don't buy the milkshake. So as long as it's in the bank, it don't buy you a pair of shoes. It don't do nothing. They just get the benefit of it. And it's for sure that it's counted against your soul if you're not sharing what you've got with God. So see, it's very foolish. You're not wise at all. Satan's deceiving you, and you're not wise at all. It's a false security. And not only that, but now they're making the people give them their Social Security number. As a matter of fact, somebody raised their hand and just told me today they've got to turn in their Social Security number. Brother Cartridge right here said they're going to fine him or whatever if he don't give them their Social Security number. That's the IRS now working it through the bank. The bank demands that they have it. You know what that's for? Bringing in the mark of the beast and the confiscating. That is to say, they're already doing it now. If you've got money in the bank, they can close it out just like that, in the sense that the freeze can be put on it. And you can't do anything. The government says freeze it, and they just take out whatever they want, and you can't do nothing. Now, you might say, I can. You can't do it. It's already been proven. We've had people at Bethlehem that had bank accounts, more than one. They froze it up just like that. Some of the finest men among us froze it up, and they couldn't do anything. So that's what it's all about. It's just God. He's tired of the foolishness. He's tired of others sharing and others giving and some hoarding. He's tired of it. And tired of you confessing faith when you're doing nothing, leaning on the arm of flesh. He's tired of it. So he's just letting the devil devour everything you got. So folks, be wise and invest in God. I'm not speaking in respect of won't hear, because I'm not taking an offering. I only mentioned that Brother John needs help as a preacher. And I'm just trying to tell you to do what's right. If you don't feel like giving to God here, don't feel bad. There's hundreds of people around the world that they've got missions. I give to them. I give to them. Betty and I give to them. We give to international operations, numbers of them, and evangelists across the different parts of the world. We give to them. So there's plenty of places that you can give if you don't feel to contribute to this cause. We give to them. There's just no excuse for not doing anything for God. It is for sure you're not going to have health and happiness. And you're not going to have God to rebuke the devourer for your sake. He's going to destroy your health and the fruits of your ground. And it's for sure that if you don't share with God, then you're cursed with the curse, and there is nothing that you have that's clean. The Bible said, give of that which you have, and behold, all things are clean unto you. All right, I just felt like saying that. I hope you can understand. I hope you can understand. You need to consider this tonight. You love the Lord. Even the little ones, you know, giving a gift to Jesus. Whereas the Bible said, do all things as unto the Lord. And giving as unto the Lord, John being bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, giving as unto the body, the membership, in that you did it unto the least of these, you did it unto me. And tonight I trust that you've done what you feel to do and feel good about it. For God loveth a cheerful giver. Don't ever give grudgingly. Give cheerfully. That way God will bless you. Be thankful for the opportunity to give and be very cheerful when you give. Never at any time give grudgingly. Never. If you give grudgingly, you lost your gift. You lost your blessing. You lost your return. Don't ever do that. If you got to give grudgingly, just keep it, because you're not going to get a blessing anyway. God loveth the cheerful giver. Be delighted to do something for God, because someday God is going to want to do something for you, and you're going to want Him to do something for you. But He isn't going to be able to reach you. He can't do it for you, because you will have cut yourself off, in that the merciful obtain mercy. And if you don't show any mercy, where there's no mercy shown, there won't be any mercy to be received. So, prepare your way. Lay up a good treasure against the day of problems. Do everything you can for the needy and for those that are without, that when you are in problems, you cry out, "Oh Lord, I've got problems, please help me." He'll come in a hurry, and it'll come to pass before you call, He'll answer, to see that your little baby is well, to see that your loved ones are well, to see that all is well with you in the time of the crisis. You can be seated. If I appear to be rude sometimes and raising my voice, I don't mean to be that way. It's just a preacher's way of doing. And the Bible said, lift up your voice like a trumpet. Sometimes a trumpet will blast out. It'll play smooth and low, and it'll blast out. And refers to the voice of the trumpet. And sometimes if I leave you standing, I don't mean to leave you standing. Sometimes I say things and I'm rude, whereas the Bible said we're rude in speech. And I know that sometimes we say things that's rude, you know, because the Bible said we're rude in speech. But we don't mean to be that way. The Bible said we're not rude in knowledge. Our intentions are not that way. And the wonderful thing that we're trying to get over to you certainly isn't that way. But we're doing it as unto the Lord. Let's sing this little chorus while they're doing that. You can just remain seated. Sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, sweet Jesus. Sweep over my soul, for my rest, it is complete. While I sit at your feet, oh, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. You know, if you've not anchored your soul in Christ, if you've not made the total commitment, if you haven't completely surrendered to God, folks, this is the good day to do it. Christmas Day, a good day. Soon Christmas will be over. In a little while the services will be over. You'll be going your way. You'll be going home. And whatever you've thought, whatever you've said, whatever you've done, you know, it will be forever established, either in your behalf or against you, because the day will be finished forever. You'll never go through this day again. When a day is behind you, that's the end of it. You never go that way again. You travel this trail one time. And when you pass today, you'll never be coming back this way anymore. So whatever you've done today, that will be it. And I trust that you've done something for the Lord. I trust that you've received something from the Lord. God is doing something beautiful. Oh, how could you want to be anything but a Christian? How could you want to be anything? I'd rather be a Christian than be the king of all this world. I'd rather be a Christian. Many things I'd like to be is my journey I pursue. Many things. I'd like to be a ruler like other men might do. But the writer said, when he finished all of his thinking of what he could be and what he wanted to be, he said, I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything that I know. I'd rather be an old-time Christian with a Christian love to show, walking in the grand old highways and telling everywhere I go, but I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything I know. Let's just sing that chorus, can we? I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything I know. I'd rather be an old-time Christian with a Christian love to show. I'm walking in the grand old highways, and I'm telling everywhere that I go, I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything I know. Sing it one more time. I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything that I know. I'd rather be an old-time Christian with a Christian love to show. I'm walking in the grand old highways, and I'm telling everywhere that I go, I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything that I know. Why don't we sing that one more time? If you want to come down to the altar, if you feel to come down to the altar, then you come on down to the altar. But let's sing it one more time, can we? I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything that I know. I'd rather be an old-time Christian with a Christian love to show. I'm walking in the grand old highways, and I'm telling everywhere that I go, I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything that I know. Hallelujah. The writer said, all the world is bright since I got right. It's my journey I pursue. I'd like to be a great man, he said, like other men might do. But I'd rather be an old-time Christian. He said, tell it far and wide. I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything that I know. Can you sing one more time? I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything that I know. I'd rather be an old-time Christian with a Christian love to show. I'm walking in the grand old highways, and I'm telling everywhere that I go, I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything that I know. Let's just lift our hands up and love the Lord. It's good to be here, folks. It's really good to be here. Let's take just a minute and love the Lord. Father God of heaven, we're so thankful for the enlightenment of your lovely word. And surely, oh surely, my Father, thou art all that we need, all that we will ever need, all that we ever know is or want to know is in thee. And great Father of glory, may your holy presence of the lovely dove of your darling love be here tonight. Oh God, for you mean more to us than life itself. You mean more to us than all of our loved ones. You mean more to us, God, than all of the gifts. For we love the giver better than all of the gifts, Holy Spirit. We love you above all things, precious Holy Spirit. Thy gift of thine own self is the greatest gift of all. And I pray tonight, Lord, as I prayed many times from this sacred desk, Father, these people to whom I speak, Lord God, they have heartaches and they have troubles. They have problems, O God. Many people in the world today, my Father, is crushed, and they don't know what to do. But you're the great, wonderful God of heaven. You're the great, wonderful giver of the truth. And Father, tonight I pray is that you would bless these people and receive them as dear children. O God, under the sheltering wings of the Almighty God, may you bless them, my Father. May the yokes be broken. May the hearts be filled with glory and with blessings. Father, even this Christmas day, may it be a day to be remembered, my Father. Oh God, may our new dedication of heart be here, knowing that the new world has come in. May we therefore be a new people, presenting our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. Father, may everyone get a new vision tonight. And Father, may they be stirred. And oh, hallelujah, may the revival of the heart and the soul be so, my Father. Precious, blessed, eternal Father. Most beautiful, lovely Father. God, we thank you for your darling Son. Holy Father, forgive us, dear God, even for our unworthy existence. Oh, God, receive us, Lord, into thy worthy existence. Help us, dear God, in the new world, in this new world, in this new way, where all things have become new. Help us to be a blessing to others. Help us to carry this lovely gospel throughout the world, encouraging the hearts of every listener. For Father, who knows, on the day when thou shalt desire our services elsewhere. So then bless us tonight. Don't let anybody be hurt over the Christmas season, my Father. The world over, watch over people. Keep them safe, my Father. Help people to be ready to meet thee. Give us weather conditions that will be favorable, my Father. Lord, for the poor and the hungry and the cold. Oh God, and help us to share our substance with thee. Dear God, that in the day when we need thee, that you might share with us. In that mercy rejoiceth against judgment. Watch over our children. Watch over our loved ones, our mothers, our daddies, our brothers, our sisters, our loved ones throughout the world, Father. Watch over these people. Dear God, for they're yours. Do something special tonight in a special, lovely way for your people throughout the world. Help us. We ask you to do it in Jesus' precious, lovely name. Hallelujah. We're going to sing another little chorus or two, and then after that we're going to find out just what the contribution has been to the man of God, and then we're going to dismiss you. If your body suffers pain and your health you can't regain, and you have to get along on mega fare, oh, just remember in God's word how he fed the little birds. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Sing it with me. Go and leave it there. Oh, and leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. For if you trust, don't ever doubt, God will surely bring you out. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. A lot of people have burdens that you and I don't know anything about. A lot of heavy weights. There's a lady tonight, I can pick up her spirit. She's really got a heavy burden. But I want us to sing this one more time. Can we? Go leave it there. Go leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Or if you'll trust, don't ever doubt, God will surely lead you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. You love Jesus. Hallelujah. Can you tell us, Dwight? $131. Okay, I thank you for $131. Just before we dismiss, if you're interested in doing anything else, we'd like for you to do it. If you want to do it, that's wonderful. Okay. I'd like to add $100 to that. And if anybody else would like to do anything to make it up to $300, then that would be wonderful. All right. Oh, you have a 50. You've got $200. Is that right?
Almost.
He said he has 180, and Betty's $100 is 280, so that's about $20. We're not going to ask you for anything, because I need an extra blessing anyway. If you want to, we'll just dismiss. See, here comes David. I think I'll ask Stan to come up, if he will, Brother Stan. I don't want to weary you, don't want to bother you. To me, I guess I look at giving altogether different. To me, giving is an opportunity, not an obligation. And even though we're obligated to give, and that how could you do anything else when you've done so much for us, but to me, it's such an opportunity, not an obligation. To me, it is a great opportunity, and I just love to do it. Before God, I just love to do it. I wished I had $50 billion. I'd just love to see what it would be like to give it away to hungry, suffering people and needy people. It just thrilled my soul to do something more for them. But anyway, it's such a thrilling thing to be able to do something for God. I'm not worried about giving out. Somebody said, well, I'm afraid I'll give out. I'm not worried about giving out, because all things is mine, including Christ. And the things that He's got, scientists say you can't destroy it. All of it's mine, the gold and cattle of 1,000 hills and all the gold and treasures and diamonds and whatever. And if I have need for more, I'll just call Jesus up on the royal telephone and tell Him to make me a few more diamonds and pearls and whatever so we can carry this thing on. So I'm not worrying about giving out. I just got it all. And I just take it whenever I need it, you know, and just go on and give it. I never look back, never wonder about it, never even worry about it. Because He promised to meet all my needs, and my needs are big. Because I just need something to give to somebody. Okay, what are you saying, Betty? He didn't say nothing. Always be careful what you do, you know, when a man's taking an offering. Sometimes it gets like an auction, you know. You open your mouth and you might be give something. He might mark you down. So, I don't know if you've ever been to an auction or not, but if you're buying horses or whatever, you sure have to keep your mouth closed. You'll be done bought your horse before you know it. You got it? You got it. 305. Okay, we got it. 305. I thought that's what it should be, so that's real good. That's fine. You want to bow your heads with me again now? So our Brother Stan comes and dismisses us. Think on these things tonight, beloved friend. It's our Brother Stan comes. He just come back from Marysville, and we're certainly glad to have him home.